Netfeed News. Little League hostages freed. Angry father killed. Visual. Body of Wilkes beside camper van. Voiceover. Gerald Ray Wilkes, like many Little League parents, thought his son's team was victimized by a bad call. Unlike most of them, though, Wilkes decided to take drastic action. After beating the unpaid umpire unconscious, he forced the opposing team of 11 and 12-year-olds into his van at gunpoint, then led authorities on a two-state chase. He was eventually stopped by a roadblock outside Tompkinsville, Kentucky, where he was shot when he refused to surrender. Reaney dodged Sam's first blow and ducked the second almost as easily. But the third bounced hard off the side of her head. Reaney cursed and leaned away. Sam was crying and swinging blindly, but Reaney didn't want to take any chances. If the Sim body was a fair representation of her real self, Sam Fredericks was a strong, athletic girl. Reaney grabbed her around the waist and threw her to the strangely soapy ground, then struggled to secure the girl's arms in a clinch. She failed and was slapped on the side of the head again. Reaney was having trouble keeping her own anger in check.
"Damn it, Sam, stop! That's enough!"
She finally managed to grab one of the girl's arms and use the leverage to shove Sam's head down against the ground, then climbed atop her and pulled her other arm up behind her back. For a moment, the girl bucked, trying to throw her off. Then her limbs went slack and her weeping took on a deeper, more heartbroken sound. Reaney kept her weight on Sam for almost a minute until she felt the girl's convulsive sobbing begin to gentle. Hoping the worst was over, she took the risk of letting go one of the girl's arms so she could rub the spot where Sam had hit her. Her jaw clicked as she worked it.
"Jesus mercy, girl, I think you broke my face."
Sam twisted her head back to look at Reaney, eyes wide.
"Oh my God, I'm so sorry."
She burst into tears again. Reaney stood up. The skimpy strips of cloth she wore had nearly been pulled off her body in the struggle, as had Sam's, and both of them were streaked with pseudo-dirt.
"Some people would pay a lot to see this kind of thing," Reaney thought, sourly. "Back at Mr. J's, they'd put a lot of good coating into this effect, half-naked women wrestling in the dirt." "Get up, girl," she said aloud. "We're supposed to be looking for rocks, remember?"
Sam rolled over and stared up at the odd gray sky, face wet, eyes desolate.
"I won't do it, Reaney. I can't do it. Even if you break both my arms. He's a murderer. He killed Orlando."
Reaney silently counted to 10 before speaking.
"Look, Sam, I let you scream at me. I even let you hit me, and I didn't smack you back, no matter how much I wanted to. Do you think this feels good?"
She touched her tender jaw.
"It's been difficult for all of us, but we're going with that nasty old man because we have to, and I'm not going to leave you here. End of discussion. Now, are you going to make me tie you up and carry you all the way down this damn mountain, tired as I am?"
Suddenly realizing that she was indeed exhausted, she slumped down next to the girl.
"Are you really going to do that to me?"
Sam looked at her solemnly, struggling for self-control. Her breath hitched. She waited until she could speak.
"I'm sorry, Reaney, but how can we go anywhere with... I know I hate the bastard. I'd like to throw him off the mountain myself. But we're going to have to live with Felix Jongleur until we get some answers to what's going on. What's that old saying about keeping your friends close and your enemies closer?"
Reaney squeezed the girl's arm.
"This is a war, Sam, not just a single battle. Putting up with that terrible man, well, it's like being a spy behind foreign lines or something. We have to do it because we have a bigger purpose."
Sam looked down, unable to hold Reaney's gaze.
"Shiz,"
she said after long moments, but she sounded like death.
"I'll try, but I'm not going to talk to him." "Fine," Reaney clambered to her feet. "Come on. I didn't just bring you out here to talk to you alone. We still have to..."
She broke off as a shape moved slowly around one of the broken spikes of stone, which were the primary features of the barren landscape. The handsome young man who stood there said nothing, but only stared back, empty-eyed as a goldfish in a bowl.
"What the hell do you want?" Rini asked him.
The dark-haired man did not answer for a moment.
I am Ricardo Clement, he said at last.
We know.
Just because he was brain-damaged didn't mean he had earned any of Rini's sympathy. Before the ceremony went awry, he had been another one of the Grail murderers, just like Jongleur.
Go away. Leave us alone.
Clement blinked slowly.
It is good to be alive.
After another pause, he turned and disappeared among the rocks.
This is so utterly horrible, Sam said weakly. I don't want to be here anymore, Rini.
Neither do I.
Rini patted her shoulder.
That's why we have to keep going, find our way home, no matter how much we want to give up.
She grabbed Sam's arm and squeezed again, trying to make her hear, force her to understand.
No matter how much. Now come on, girl, get on your feet. Let's go find some more rocks.